Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I can feel it too, mate.
You can feel it?
Yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah, me too.
Feel like this is a big moment for you and I.
Building up to this for a long time.
5 years.
5 years.
5 years building up to this moment.
A lot of sexual tension in the room.
A lot of times we spent together. But this is the moment where you're going to come co-host the podcast.
Yeah, today. I've... had multiple wanks thinking about this day, and it's finally here.
I think about you a lot. Hello, everyone. Yes, we got the podcast today. Very exciting news because my buddy, my homie, big family friend of the podcast, Tom Lucy, is co-hosting with me.
What's up?
Yeah, we're excited for this one.
Yeah, this is big.
Also, do you know what I love the fact is because you know we get a lot of comedians on the podcast, and you know I'm not a comedian yet, but
not yet, thankfully.
No, I'm not a comedian, but you are. So you understand the circuit. You understand the kind of troubles. You're obviously friends with loads of different comedians. So it's kind of great to have you on co-host with me because it's like a double threat we have going on.
Yeah, big time.
You know what I mean?
And yeah. We're chatting to a great comedian today.
Well, why don't you intro him?
He's called Adam Rowe. He's fucking great.
He's in the room now. You said you didn't like him before.
But now he's here. I'm a big fan.
We got Adam Rowe on the podcast. We're very excited. Very funny comedian. He won Best Joke at the Edinburgh Festival. We talk about that in the podcast. He is going on tour at the end of the year. And Tom and I just sit here and chat about life, love, and loads of different things. You're going to enjoy it. Hey, listen, also please subscribe, review, do all these kind of things you love. Follow Tom Lucy on Instagram. And go and check out his tour. Can we still get tickets to your tour?
Yeah, you can. There's still more dates. Tomlucy.com.
He's adding more to his list. If you're in Southport, you can go and get...
Southport?
Yeah. He's touring in Newbury.
You're just making these up now.
No. Go Tunbridge Wells if you want.
I'll be in Tunbridge Wells on the 3rd of June.
Leamington Spa.
That's not booked yet, but I will be trying to book that.
Leamington Spa in November.
Hey, listen, if you're listening in Barton upon Humber, check me out on the 23rd of November.
Also, Tom's very excited. He's booked out.
Hey, listen, Carlisle. I'm going to be there on the 14th of December.
Tom's very excited. Also, if you like Tom, he's performing at the O2 Christmas Eve. If you want to
this
go.
Year, Christmas Eve, 2 p.m.
Yeah, 2 p.m.
matinee, yeah. Christmas Eve.
Straight before Take That, which is quite.
So they've got the Jingle Bell Ball. They'll clear that up, and then I go on about 2.
Hey, listen, we got very funny Adam Rowe on the podcast. We're excited about it. Please subscribe if you do those kind of things. Also, please send us a mail. We've only received one letter, 7981 Borough Road, SE1 1DN. You've heard it here. Do it. Follow us. Love us. Hero us. Get it on.
Treasure us.
Treasure us. Like I treasure you, Tom Lucy.
Me too.
Hey, listen, Adam Rowe, enjoy. It's going to be a good one. You're an Everton fan.
No.
You're not an Everton fan.
I'm not an Everton fan. Yeah. No, I'm a Liverpool fan.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the difference between an Everton
They're
fan?
They're different places. But apart from that, yeah.
Tom is an Arsenal fan.
Mm. Are you really? I didn't know that.
Mm. Well, he claims it. Isn't it funny? We did this podcast the other day.
Yeah. Think of the worst two people possible to host a football podcast. Me and him hosted a football podcast where we had like proper football fans call in and give actual football sort of criticism, and we just went,
There's a comedian from Liverpool called Adam Staunton. Have you gigged with Adam?
Yeah.
What he does is, he's not interested in football at all, but after every big game, he goes on Twitter, finds out what most people are saying, and then puts a big, long Facebook status analysing the game just from information he's got from other people. There's people like actually replying, like, yeah, really good point there. Like, yeah.
We did this podcast the other day, and I asked Tom, because they were like, oh, who would you like to like hang out with and like, talk? I was like, oh, Tom Lucy. I just love hanging out with Tom Lucy, and he knows loads about football. Mm. So anyway, he came on, we were talking about football.
All of that's true.
And every single time we'd go down asking questions, so I'd ask a question to this one person, and then I would speak to him, and then Tom realised it was coming to him, and all he could think in his head was, oh, fuck.
Well, it's because the other guy on the podcast was the head of ESPN.
So well, it was you two and the head,
and
of,
the head of ESPN.
Yeah, but they're clueless with football as well. Well, like ESPN.
He wasn't. He knew everything about football.
Is he American?
No. He was a bit of a geezer, wasn't he?
He was a bit of a geezer.
All right, yeah.
But he knew like fixture results from like 8 years ago in little tiny games. And so Jamie would ask him a question. He'd give the most incredible answer. And then he'd go, and Tom? Yeah. And I'd just be sat there like...
But then I'd also say to Tom, I'd say things like... What is your most surprising thing of the season? And he would go, the fact they stopped selling Guinness.
Well, the guy, what was the guy's name? Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
He gave like this incredible like long answer about the treatment of Manchester United's coaching staff or something. And then it came to me and I couldn't think of anything to say. So I just said that this, which is...
I'm suspicious of this Alex guy, you know. I don't think he knows much about football. I think he's learned a lot about football.
He knew a lot.
Throwing beef at you're not going to get invited on the ESPN football podcast.
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'm just trying to bait myself onto being the controversial figure who goes against the grain of the establishment at ESPN.
What's wrong with ESPN? Aren't they supposed
to be good? I don't know. It's just, no, they're American sports, aren't they? So they
drift into the UK market.
Yeah, well, they did for
a bit.
Why
we were hosting it.
They tried to rival Sky Sports. And then Satanta did it because they couldn't manage it, and then they failed as well. And then
Satanta or Satander?
Satanta. Is that how you say it?
Satanta. I'm not talking about the bank.
Oh, it's Satanta.
Talking about the Irish sports giant.
Why are you talking about a bank on the podcast?
Santander.
Yeah, Santander and Halifax tried to start their own
company. It Santander. Santander.
Go on, you can get some money
at Santander. Santander.
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives. Hey, in the studio, Adam Rowe. What's up, buddy?
What's happening? Thanks for having me.
Hey, also, big surprise. Well, not a surprise. He's a big friend of the podcast and he's co-hosting with me, Tom Lucy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We've already had this conversation though before I actually said that. So we record something before this podcast. We haven't actually recorded, but we're going to talk about the fact that we're hosting on it already today.
Okay, right. We were just saying how... Jamie's told me absolutely nothing of the things I've got to prepare for the show. There's three or four things I needed to prepare that I found out 30 seconds ago.
He didn't know
so
you were coming.
Strap in for a big one.
I arrived and he was like, just me and you today, mate. Francis is away. And I was like,
I can't believe it.
I was told Tom Lucy was guesting. He was like, no.
This is Matt.
Yeah, who the fuck is that? I don't like that guy.
The most disorganized person in the world.
I know.
Hey, Adam's only here because he found out I was there. You wouldn't have done it otherwise, would you?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
No, Adam's only here because you're gigging tonight, and so then you're mixing in with doing a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't ruin the glamour. He's travelled down just for this, haven't you?
Well, I have travelled down early for this. I had to get up at 7 a.m. for this, which for a comedian is like getting up at 2 a.m. for a normal person, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like, Tom, you don't get up at 2 in
2 a.m.
You don't get up at 2 a.m. You get up at like 7, 8 a.m., I reckon.
I'm quite an early riser, yeah. I like to get out, you know, do some squats.
Oh, fuck off.
Write some jokes.
What is your morning routine? What do you do in the morning?
I've got into porridge recently. Are you into porridge?
The program now? Or
the program? Yeah. So I watched 6 hours of porridge.
Gets up, watches porridge from start to finish.
It's been a really good mindset for the day. Any sort of prison comedies.
Wait, so you get up in the morning, you eat porridge?
I know, I've just recently got into porridge.
But why? Because why are you getting...
Well, because I was dicking around with a load of breakfast cereals and...
Why?
Because I couldn't really... I never had like a set breakfast meal. I would go just sort of... Sometimes I'd have toast or cereal and I thought, I need some routine. Yeah, but I need a bit of routine. I want to feel... If I was
you
in prison...
You want to feel like a seven-year-old I'd again, get you get something and he's like, everything. Rice Krispies, now!
Lucky Charms, I want them!
So I just thought, I'll just get into porridge. So I'm into porridge now. Okay. What do you have for breakfast?
I very rarely have breakfast, to be honest with you, because I don't wake up early enough to justify still having breakfast.
Do you lead that like sort of glorified comedian life of getting up at 3 p.m. and?
No, I'm sort of like, it's normally between like 10:30 and 12:30 that I get up.
That's late.
You get up at 12:30
sometimes
every day. Yeah.
Not every day. Sometimes it's 10:30. You're not listening, Tom. I'm right here.
You just say, are you depressed?
That's what depressed people do, isn't it?
It's also what people do when they're on nights.
Yeah, but we're not really on night. We finish at like 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's when... Yeah, because you live and gig in London a lot, so you can just get the tube home. If I've got to drive home from fucking...
Yeah.
Battersea or...
Dude, that's a lonely thing, you know... So, and you're not on tour at the moment, are you?
I will be at the end of the year.
Yeah. It's my research, knew that.
But Tom, you're really prepped for this.
Yeah, I really prepped for this. Tom, you're on tour at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens with those lonely nights? And I want to ask you, what happens in those lonely nights when you go to a gig and you finish the gig? Do you drive home by yourself or do you drive back with somebody? How does it work?
You think we... Like, if there's a support act, you will drive back with them. But you can't just be asking people to come home with you from the gig.
Yeah.
Well, you can.
Just lonely fella on the front row. Yeah, you'll come with me, mate, back to Liverpool. You're mine now. Should have read the terms and conditions when you booked your ticket, lad. Get in the fucking car.
VIP ticket. Meet and greet.
But surely that must be, like, the lonely part of being a comedian, the fact that you have to, like, then travel back by yourself. Like, if you're all the way up in, like, Wolverhampton and then you have to travel back.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that.
The loneliest part of being a comedian is asking a service station attendant to put a pasty in the microwave for you. That's the way. That's when it hits you. Oh, this isn't as glamorous.
A certain hour, they don't even let you in the service.
Yeah, that's it.
Point through the window.
Yeah. What is that?
They assume that anyone out that late is a serial killer.
Yeah, why did they do that?
So you have to go through like some sheet metal going.
You're saying things like orange Lucas, and he's holding up a Rustler's bag. Like, it's fine.
No.
Orange Lucas. Then he comes all the way back with nothing. You tell him again.
Yeah. And you have to go, no, that the other one there, that one, the bigger one, yes,
down,
the bigger one.
And it doesn't help that you know for a fact that it's not the A team working at 2 a.m. You know, that's not the best petrol service.
It's the graveyard shift
attendant they've got, is it?
They're not like prime time, are they? They're not on the breakfast show.
That's the guy who has not completed his training yet. That's the hard yards.
It doesn't even work there.
So that's your little thing. So you get up at 12:30, you don't really have breakfast, but then when you do a gig on the way back, you get one of those little gilsters.
I try and avoid them. Like, I don't eat well after gigs, to be honest with you. I'll go to like McDonald's or something. I'll do that above getting like a pasty from a service station, but I don't always get up that late. It's normally...
Look at his back going, I kind of don't get up that late normally. Just occasionally.
I'd say normally I'm up by 11 and I'm doing stuff, but...
That seems very late to me.
But like, I'll get it... Even if I get in from a gig at like 12, I'll sit up playing the PlayStation or watching telly till like 3 a.m. It's not like I'm going to bed at 10 p.m. and having 13 hours
sleep. As soon as I finish
the
gig, I'm asleep 5 minutes later.
So your audience.
At least 2 hours before.
But that is like, so people think, and also I think this is the most amazing thing about comedians, is that people think that it's kind of like a swishy swashy job, and the fact that you're performing.
Swishy swashy. Yeah.
You're gonna have to translate that for me, you know.
Fucking Jack Sparrow's in the room.
Yeah.
Swishy swashy.
I told you we're gonna have trouble with Adam. He said downstairs. Tom said you're not gonna understand him.
I just love the fact that you two are polar opposites in terms of your accents.
Yeah. And you're like in the middle.
And I'm in the middle, which is perfect. It's like the evolution of man, this.
Yeah. But wait, Alex, so you...
Offend some Scousers with that comment. I apologise.
No, we got a Scouser on.
You don't want to offend Scousers online as well. Like, it's
yeah, they go crazy.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Anfield Rap podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had the guy on the show.
The guy on the show. We had him on again the other time and he gets angry. I think Scousers get angry quite easily. Is that right?
No, it's what will happen is, like, if you... It's such a parochial city, so it's sort of... It's that mob mentality. If you have a go at one of us, you're having a go at everyone. Mm-hmm. And for example, like, a few years ago, there was a fella who was photographed wearing a T-shirt. And it was a very offensive T-shirt. It said, Hillsborough was God's own form of rent-a-kill. And he had that shirt on in a pub in, like, Gloucester. And someone took a photo of it. And Scousers on Twitter found where he lived, where he worked, who his wife was. By the end of the day, he'd been fired from his work. His wife was thinking about leaving him. They sent like £300 worth of lilt to his house that he had to pay for. They sent him like 7 skips. They sent an exorcist round to perform exorcism. God. Yeah, like,
wow. God, they really go into, because they're passionate, right? They're passionate.
It's like Guildford. Same in Guildford. If you piss off someone from Guildford, you piss off everyone.
Yeah, Guildford, yeah, then Guildford, right, that's one of us. We're going for them.
Oi!
I can spot a Scouser in a crowd, Jack, and you can do that with someone from Guildford. You know, if like I'm walking around London, I can go.
Spot a Scouser as well.
That says the one nicking.
Those aren't your trainers.
Please cut that bit out and put it online.
Now I'm gonna get.
I want to photograph you signing for £3,000 worth of Dr. Pepper.
Now they're gonna do it to me.
But the thing is, but this is the thing about comedians, right? Is that you think it's a bit of like, you don't think it's swishy swashy, whatever that means. You just think it's more like, I know, you perform for an hour and a half, right, in the evening. You drive to a place and drive it. But actually, it's a freaking lonely, hard, terrifying job that you have to constantly do day in, day out. And you're working for yourself. So if you're having, like, a bad time or a bad week or whatever, you still have to go out there and perform to your best ability, don't you?
Yeah, but you don't. Like, if you're in a mood, like...
You don't perform well.
You're not on top form. It does vary. And you can have, like, sort of less good gigs. Like, this weekend, I've been gigging in Liverpool. And a hot water. Do you do hot water?
I don't know. No, I did it a long time ago, but
yeah, you should do.
Is hot water a gig place?
It's a comedy club.
Yeah, there you go.
A gig place.
That's the saying, isn't it?
It's a gig place.
A gig place.
Talking to you,
research the lingo.
It's a gig place.
And this weekend, for some reason, like normally I don't mind a heckle. I hate people talking amongst themselves, but if I get a heckle, I'm like, I can deal with this. This will make tonight different to last night. Let's have some fun. And this weekend, I was just in such a bad mood, and I got heckled a few times, because Liverpool can be quite a heckly city.
Mate, when I was there, I got heckled all the time. It was a Monday night in Liverpool, and we...
Just in the street, or...?
I was walking down the street, and they're just heckling me. Fuck off! But we did a gig for Private Parts. We took a show up there, and in Liverpool, we were heckled so badly, to the point where...
Negative heckles?
Well, I don't know. They then came on stage at the end. We did like a meet and greet at the end, and you could pay extra to do a meet and greet, and they came on stage... And they said, the people who were heckling went, oh, sorry, it's just you're in Liverpool, and I hope we didn't ruin your evening. I said, you didn't ruin mine, but you ruined everyone else's in this room.
Oh, Christ. You're like a teacher talking. And then they complained. It's your own time you're wasting.
Yeah. And then they complained, yeah. So it's kind of like, but heckling is, how do you deal with the heckles when that happens? Do you shout at them, or what do you do?
I will often keep putting them down until the audience slightly turn on me.
I just slightly turn on you.
Well, yeah, no, just give me an example.
I'll take it too far. Like, so the other night, and I don't mind.
I'll take it too far. I want the audience to turn on me.
I want to piss the guy off. Do you know what I mean? I want him to be upset.
There's kind of like an unwritten rule in comedy that you go back to a heckler with the same level of aggression they came to you with.
Yeah, I don't do that. I absolutely do not do that.
So if he says, like, I don't like your shirt, you don't say, get cancer.
I build to that, you see. I go, well, I don't like your shirt either. Your shoes are a bit shit. Look at your face, get cancer. You can't just go straight there. You have to build up to it.
You have to build to that. Yeah. So, well, what's quite fun, I don't know if you ever do this, but if you just like sincerely ask them what they mean, so if they shout something out and you just go, what do you mean? And then you stop the whole show and go, I don't understand, what do you mean?
Yeah, you do. Have you done that before?
Yeah, because then they sort of like, they go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, or... If you, because they're expecting you to just like come straight back.
Yeah, but
if you sincerely go, sorry,
my fear with that is that the audience, if I feel like if I did that, the audience would be like, oh, we do.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Doesn't know what he's doing here. He doesn't know what he's even said. This can't handle.
Isn't it like ultimate confidence to stop your act and go, sorry? Sorry? You got something to say?
Yeah, that is ultimate.
Isn't that the ultimate confidence?
Maybe that works in Guildford, mate, but in Liverpool, I can imagine 200 Scousers going, he's not even fucking able to deal with a heckler.
There are some that you went to say, he's not even fucking
extra Scouse on top of my already Scouse accent.
There are some cities that, like Liverpool, where I feel like the audience is wanting to prove that you're funny outside of your material. So like Liverpool, Glasgow, Manchester, Newcastle, they'll like you even more if you can prove that you're funny around.
Sort of. Liverpool had a reputation for a long time as a difficult city to gig in, and the reason for that in comedians' heads was that everyone in Liverpool thinks they're funny because you're sort of brought up to be funny and take the piss and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, comedians thought, well, I go on stage, they're going to heckle me because they think they're funny and they're not getting... Yeah. That right now. I'm getting to show it. And I think there is still an element of that. Like, the other night, I told a fairly offensive joke and a woman, like, laughed with her hand over her mouth, and I was like, what are you doing? You're useless. You're enjoying that joke more than anyone in the room, and you're giving me no sound, which is just fucking pointless, isn't it?
What was the offensive joke?
I can't put it on the internet.
Not even on this show.
Yeah.
It must be bad.
It sounds
like you bring a lot of anger to the stage.
Well, this weekend I was in a bad fucking mood, and I was like, why are you laughing like that? Who are you helping with that laugh?
Look, Adam, you're waking up at 12:30, you're being angry on stage.
Absolutely. You know how much angry I would be if I got up at 9? this is me with enough sleep, I'm not taking any away.
Wait, hang on, so this lady wasn't laughing. And...
No, she was, but she was silently covered, like, you know when, like, you're sort of embarrassed that you find something funny, so you're like, oh my god, I shouldn't be laughing at that.
Yeah.
That type of laughter, and
that's,
I was like,
worst,
what are you
it?
Doing? And I was like...
Do you know what really pisses me off is people who laugh but make no noise when they come out of their mouth? You know,
what? Who does
just,
that?
You know, some people just laugh and they don't make any noise, and they like bang tables and stuff.
Adam's actually reenacting your reenaction.
Yeah, that. So you, when you're on stage, you can see people laughing, but no one, you can't hear anything. It's the most annoying thing.
You know what was the cutest thing I've ever seen from an audience member at the weekend? At the same show, actually, there was an old man on the front row.
Just waving his coffee. And
literally, every time he found something funny, he'd do this, he'd go... tap both his legs with his hands, this little like 50-year-old man with a little dicky bow on and everything. He looked like a cartoon, just enjoying himself.
He was thrilled to be out the house.
Yeah.
But is it? But also what I found out is that sometimes when you have an audience, right?
See, you know that Jamie did a gig?
Yeah.
He did it at my charity show.
Yeah, I did it.
So now Jamie talks like he's one of the boys.
One of the boys.
He's like, you know what it's like when
you know what it's like when you don't have an audience. Yeah.
Actually, he did his gig at the Comedy Store, actually.
Yeah. I called it this Comedy Central Store as
well. Yeah, you said that on stage.
No, I said
that. On stage. Really happy to be at the Comedy Central Store.
They were sounds like they sell Comedy Central t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah. They were already seething at the fact that I was on stage, and then I went Comedy Central.
It's just like we've got a Comedy Central cap on, key rings.
What were the audience pissed off that you were on?
No, they weren't. But I think
it was great. It was really good.
I think with the Comedy Store, right, because it's such a such a renowned place to go and do comedy, and it's so prestigious that some comedians haven't even performed there, right? They haven't been given the chance to perform.
It's pretty hard, even as a comedy, to get on there.
Let alone it's my first ever time as a reality star going and standing on stage. They were like, what the hell is going on here? But Tom very kindly invited me to go and do it. And holy shit, it's the coolest thing
I've ever
done.
Yeah, you definitely got the buzz.
Do you want to do it again?
I'm doing it again. So I'm thinking not next week, the week after I'm doing one, but I'm not meant to announce it.
Asked the Comedy Store yet? Or are you just going to turn up?
Turn up on a Saturday. Right, boys?
Here I am. Ready
what time
to do this?
What time
remember
do
me.
But it's an amazing buzz, but when you, even we had this on our show, the audience is so key, as you both know. Like when you realize that you can lose the audience like that, and when you lose them, how the hell do you get it back?
You just have to be funnier than you've been at any point. If you actually do lose them, it takes a haymaker of a punchline to get them back on board. You have to really surprise them, because often if you do lose them by a bit of crowd work that goes wrong, or a joke that you misjudge, or like, especially if you're doing sort of jokes that are on the line of being offensive or trying to sort of be a bit wind up a few people in the crowd, if you don't give it the right context, if you miss two words out, the audience can go, hang on, what are you saying? That's hate speech.
Yeah. Or some people, you see it a lot with like slightly newer acts where they have jokes that are great, but they put them like too near the beginning of this. They have to trust you a bit more before they can let you talk about that.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean they put it too much?
They'll have like a slightly controversial, like your thing.
No, I've tried twice now to open with it.
But I feel, Tom, with your comedy, you don't like offending people, really. Yours is... or do you offend people? I don't think you do,
I don't think I don't think you really choose the sort of comedy that you do. You just do what you find funny. So Adam does what he finds funny. I just say what I find. I don't think you choose, I'm going to be a controversial comedian.
I think some people do. I don't necessarily
think...
They're
not the best comics, though.
I don't think the best comics do. I think the best comics, for a few years, when you're first getting on stage and doing gig after gig after gig, you're literally just saying anything
that they respond to. That's what I mean. When you first start doing it, right, guys, is that you're thinking in your head, God, I've got to be really funny, so what can I do that's really funny? It takes quite a lot of confidence to, I suppose, write about what you find funny as an individual, because...
Well, no, most comics, in my experience, when they're new, almost all of them are almost one-liners. Like, everyone's just doing jokes. To a certain extent. Well, certainly when I started, there's a bit more... I think a lot of people at the minute at New Act Nights, and I host quite a lot of New Act Nights in Liverpool at Hot Water, because I have like three throughout the week, and it's quite easy money for me for the local club. So I see a lot of new acts now, and so many of them are trying their absolute best to be James Acaster.
It happens a lot where you get like...
Playing a role where they think, oh God, they're going to quite like me as this sort of...
But you get like a comedian that blows up, and then
people
for like 3 years...
Frankie Boyle and Jimmy Carr, 10 years ago, everyone was doing offensive one-liners.
Like when I started doing comedy, everyone was a Stuart Lee tribute act. Like the whole open mic circuit, everyone was just doing like bad Stuart Lee impressions.
But people who aren't imitating a comedian that they like often are like one-liners at first. They're just doing anything to get a laugh quickly. And it takes you a couple of years to get to the point if you become a good comic. And some comics stay as one-liners and perfect it and unbelievably good writers of jokes. But eventually, some comics, certainly, I feel like I'm on my way to doing that, and I know you are as well. You find your voice, and that's sort of a cliched industry term. You find what you find funny and what you want to say on stage. And then that just becomes who you are as a comic. You don't consciously go, oh, I'm going to write this way.
Yeah,
you just go,
yeah.
Oh, that's the type of humor I have. Why aren't I just doing that on stage? You try... I think eventually
you become closer to what you are off stage.
Yeah, you want to be the guy you are in the pub with your mates.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? Because from what I think with most like comedians, maybe I'm totally wrong. Aren't there comedians out there who go, I'm not funny, but I can write funny stuff, so I'm going to be a comedian? Does that really happen? Because normally you're kind of the joker, really, and then you kind of start.
Well, there are some comics who are like great writers and not. Great performers, maybe. Yeah. And, they sort of
and there's some great performers
writers.
Who aren't great writers.
Yeah.
But because I would think that, like, you want to be more close to you, so you want to be that person down the pub where you're with your mates, where you're making them all just laugh with your stories, and you want to reflect that on stage.
That's what we're trying to do. That's not what all comics are trying to do, but that's what we're... Like, James Acaster is not... Like, if you watch those four Netflix specials, he's not like that in real life, because...
He's more of a character.
It's almost a character. And if you watch someone like Gary Delaney... He's not like that off stage because he's just doing one-liner
but
jokes.
But psychologically, that would be a complete head fuck for you.
But what the weirdest thing
is... Do you
know
what I mean?
Do
you not think it would be?
The weirdest thing, you probably would have found exactly the same thing, is like, when, like you say, when you're starting out and you're doing all those gigs and you're trying to work out who your voice is, you actually realise that I don't actually need to try and do anything. You just need to like be who you are. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like you're trying too much.
Yeah.
So actually what you need to do is not really try at all.
Just be
who you
hey,
are.
Adam,
yeah.
Just be you, buddy.
I know that sounds like a wanky American.
No, but it's so true. That's exactly it, 100%.
If people can't handle you at your worst, they don't deserve you at your best.
I mean, I'm not saying you should be yourself. You should be someone else.
I should try and calm
should,
down
yeah,
a bit.
You
yeah,
should
yeah.
calm down, yeah.
it's a weird one because, because I would think that... I would find it tricky that if my life was spent acting a different character, I suppose I've done TV and stuff where you heighten yourself, but being a completely, playing a role would, God, it'd be exhausting almost.
But it's funny, the comedians who are on stage, like very enthusiastic and happy all the time, their lives must be a kind of a nightmare because everywhere they go, people expect that person.
That's what I mean. And then they don't receive that person.
And then they go, oh, he's a bit of a dick, isn't he? He's not like that happy all the
time. Yeah. And also, like, if what I've noticed is if you've got a flaw, like a physical flaw as a comic that you talk about on stage as a joke, people then just think it's sound to heckle you with that.
Yeah.
Like, I do material about my eye because I've got like a
glass eye.
It's not quite a glass one, mate. I was born with a muscle weakness there, so they put a muscle out of my leg in my eyelid to help it hold it up.
From
so
your leg?
From my leg.
Really?
I love that.
From
me fucking in Liverpool, they go, get it from his leg.
Yeah.
That's basically my joke, is an NHS surgeon needed a muscle to hold up a wafer-thin piece of skin and settled on me thigh. That was his first fucking port of call. Let's put his thigh in it, that'll do. So I did a routine about how I was called Thigh Eye at school for 5 years. I was bullied for being the only kid who could do heads and volleys at the same time. And obviously that's all a routine and it gets laughs. But then after there's two comedy clubs in Liverpool and I was doing both at the weekend. You walk between the two and on that walk, I seen people who were at one of the shows and they were like, all right, lad, hey, do your eye again. Show us your eye.
Show us your eye.
Fuck off.
Show us your eye.
Show us your eye. It's here.
Here's a great thing, right? So there's a comedian called Nigel Ng. You know Nigel?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got this, he's a Malaysian comedian, right? And he's got this big routine about why he thinks British people don't cook rice properly, right? He's got this big like thing and he's done it on TV and whatever. So the other day I was walking through Soho with him and a guy on the other side of the road recognises Nigel and just shouts, rice, at Nigel. And Nigel obviously knows what he's referring to and sort of waves and goes, hey, thanks very much. But there was about three people around us who didn't know who Nigel was. And all they saw was a man, see an Asian man, and just shout, rice. And then the Asian guy go, thanks very much. I just went, Rice. And he went, thanks a lot. Thank you.
There's that story about, that story of Durham, where TV were at university and they were revising in the kitchen. And you know how do you remember what cupcaking was, where you would fart in your hand and then you would put it in someone else's face? It was called cupcaking.
Remember? What the fuck did you mean, remember? I'm still doing it. Yeah.
So you do that. And the whole story goes is that his mate, you know, fart into his hand and went to throw it, like put it in, and he'd chat. He threw shit into his mate's face. And the funny thing is if you were passerby, you'd be seeing two people revising at a table, one person shit into his hand and throw it at his mate across the table.
Did this guy not have any pants on?
I was going to say, were they revising naked?
How did he shit through his pants into his hand? That would be my first question. Why has that fella got no pants on?
That's awful.
Yeah. Right, on that note, Mr. Tom Lucy, we need to have question of the week.
I mean,
he didn't prep
just for the purposes of the audience. I found out about question of the week just before we did this.
Now
it's time for question of the week. Okay, so this is where Francis asks a question, like a weird Francis question.
Yeah, a weird one, but you can ask anyone you want.
Asking Adam or both of you.
You've asked both of us.
Oh no, but then it's got to be one that's hard enough that you can't guess it.
No, well, ask Adam then. I don't mind. I'll just sit back and listen. I quite like it. I love that you're trying to think of a question.
Well, I'm trying to think of an interesting question.
Hey, it can be anything you want.
Have you ever...
Are you actually genuinely going to ask, have you ever felt sad? It's like the question.
Have you ever wondered what happens? Have you ever... have you ever shat yourself in public?
That's not a question of the week. You have to ask a question that is like we have to guess the answer to.
You can guess if he's ever shat himself in public.
Has Adam ever shat himself in public? I've come close.
You shat yourself on stage?
No, I came very close.
Really?
Yeah. Like twice on sort of the opposite sides of it. So one gig in Newcastle, I'm waiting sort of in the wings to go on. And the compere goes, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for your headline act? And I went... to the show manager, I went, I need to tell him to wait.
That's
and he
great.
Goes, Adam Rowe! And the show manager goes, he's having a poo. He's gone to the toilet. So he had to like vamp and do another few minutes.
I was doing one in London where I was waiting with the guy who booked the gig in the wings and they were about to announce me and I was like, I'm going to be sick like right now. And I just suddenly felt I'm going to be sick. So I said to the guy running the gig, I can't go on, I'm literally about to be sick. He was like, what do you mean? He was like, I'm going to be sick.
Wait, was it like a nervous thing? Like,
I don't know what it was.
It was an important gig, like Monkey Business or...
Yeah, it was a big one for me, yeah.
And wait, so what happened? So you were about to be
sick. I ran to the toilet and was sick. And the guy had come back to just stall the audience for a bit. And then I went on with sick everywhere. Good evening.
And there's been other times where like I've been like, I'll be able to hold this till the end. And I've gone on stage and then got like... 25 minutes into a 30 minute set and being like, thanks for having us.
Have you ever gone off stage to the toilet and then come back on?
No.
I've seen people tour shows do that.
What, just like, oh, I need the toilet.
Kevin Bridges once, one of the ones I was supporting him, he needed a piss really badly.
You've dropped the name there, lad. I'm going to pick that up.
Well, it's relevant to the story.
So you continue the story, yeah?
He just went for a piss. It's not really a story. Cut that out. He just went for a piss.
There we go. Hey, I've got a question.
What?
Of the week.
Was that not good enough?
Well, you guys have to guess it. Then we answer in part two. It means people come back for part two.
Oh, sorry. Can they not come back with part two with the shat yourself?
Yeah, we can do that as well. Here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah.
If a polar bear and a grizzly bear mate, what is their offspring called?
Is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
Sounds like a joke.
Yeah, the once. No, if a polar bear and a grizzly bear mate, what is their offspring called?
A pizzly bear.
Surely they can't mate, can
you
they?
You think it's a what?
A prizzly bear.
Prizzly bear.
Yeah.
And I think it's a grizzlola bear.
You think grizzlola bear?
Grizzlo bear.
Grizzlo bear. So pizzly bear and a grizzlola bear.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident about that.
Right, everyone, we're going to get that in part two. Hey, listen, Adam, you've got to stick around because we have to come back for part two, baby.
Sam.
Sick. Say something cool, Tom.
Sick.
See you in part two!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.